Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, we've just started into this chapter, and as I said last week, it's kind of like unpacking the Ryder truck when you've arrived at your new home, and you're going to move everything in. We've just lifted the gate and taking the moment to unpack some initial things. The Apostle Paul has taken great time in chapters 3 and 4 to lay out the arguments that we have throughout Scripture as to salvation by grace through faith alone. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And we find the Apostle Paul using arguments from the Old Testament. We have him using the arguments from his own testimony, from the testimony of those that had been converted. And we are so thankful that we can consider this final verse in chapter 4 and transition here into chapter 5. Our basis of the message in chapter 5 is from that which we find in verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. The allegory that is used is that of Hagar and Sarah, and we find that in the closing part of chapter 4. And we transition from being in bondage to the law to being free in Jesus Christ. And so we turn our attention to the message from last Sunday morning, and we took a few moments and looked at being freed from the law, verses 1 through 4. What does that mean? Well, if grace had not freed me, I would still be under bondage. If grace had not freed me, Christ would profit me nothing, verse number 2. If grace had not freed me, I would be debtor to the whole law. We see that in verse number 3. And then the last part, if grace had not freed me, we'd be fallen from grace. It's not that of losing your salvation, because once you are in Christ, you are in Christ for all eternity. It's not losing your salvation, but it's falling from the intent that grace has or should have in your life. It's falling from that original position of grace and what God desires to do with that grace in your life. The Apostle Paul said in his own testimony, I am what I am by the grace of God. We are saved by grace. We are sustained by grace. We are sanctified by grace. And praise God, we have the opportunity to serve by grace. And so I hope that you'll remember those items from those opening four verses, because we have been freed. We are no longer in bondage to the law. Christ means so much to all of us. He is our all in all. He profits us everything. We have no debt to the law now, and we rejoice in that deliverance from sin by grace. We move to the next two portions of this message. And again, if you were not able to be here last Sunday, this is kind of the second part of that same message. Let's read our text again, and we'll go all the way down through this text and then pick up the final two points that we have in this message. But if you'll read with me, verse number 1, Galatians chapter 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh love. We began this message last Sunday morning by looking at this matter of being freed from the law, verses 1 through 4. Let's continue on with verse number 5 as we consider these next two verses and finish up this message. We're not only freed from the law, but look at what the Bible says in verse number 5. We're focused on coming righteousness. Focused on coming righteousness. Freed from the law, because we are in Christ, and also we are focused on coming righteousness. Look at verse number 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. This is a prophetic statement, and it's the only prophetic statement in the entire epistle. And the Apostle Paul says, this is our hope. This is what we're looking forward to. Hold your fingers here and turn with me, if you would, for just a moment to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, the epistle that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and a wonderful statement that is made here in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at several of these here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Galatians 5 and verse 5, he says, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We look forward to our glorification because we are in Christ Jesus. You say, is it possible for me to lose my salvation? Is it possible for me to be lost in my sins forever? The only way that I will be lost forever is if Jesus Christ dies. Because the Bible declares Christ in you, the hope of glory. What hope do I have of eternal life? I have an eternal God dwelling in my heart. And because of his eternality, I will live with him forever. Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2. The Apostle Paul writes to Titus. Three of my favorite verses. I've preached on them before here at FBT. I'll probably preach them again when we come to our time and going through the book of Titus. But Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. This is the past, present, and future of our faith in Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We're saved by grace through faith. That brings freedom to the life. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 31. Here's what my present life should look like. Teaching us, that's believers, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's our present time. As long as we're here on this earth, we have the opportunity to show forth the praises of Almighty God, to reveal him to a lost and dying world. But look at our future. The Bible says in verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, a great truth that Jesus Christ is himself God. And so we rejoice in these things. If you'll turn to one more with me, one more epistle, 1 John chapter 3. And we'll consider this again, just the nature of reaching that day of ultimate perfection. I wish that I could tell you all that I was no longer a sinner. Some people gave testimony of trusting Jesus Christ this morning in our young adult Sunday school class and of going from the broad way to the narrow way. And by the way, it's exciting to hear when people are willing to testify. This is when I left the broad way and when I came to the narrow way. If you don't yet have that testimony, if there's never been a time in your life where you've repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ alone, then my friend, today's the day. Today is the day. I don't mind saying this, but I know you watched the footage from yesterday and the assassination attempt. We're talking about an inch of distance and a man would have gone into eternity. And I wonder if that man, not just him in particular, but that man and all of our politics and all of our representatives, I wonder if they're prepared for eternity. You know, they really think that all that they're doing and all that they're living for in saving America and making this nation what it should be and everything like that, they're all thinking that their lives, and this is true of every political party, that their lives are wrapped up in what they're going to do for this nation. The truth of the matter is that one day they'll stand before Almighty God, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I wonder, when events like this take place, my mind immediately goes to this. I wonder if that will be the time that God points them to their own mortality and they understand that there is a great God that I'll give an accounting to. Well, I tell you, people will say all manner of things about Almighty God and Jehovah. They'll say all manner of things about His Word. They'll say all manner of things about Christianity and the followers of Christianity and the followers of Christ. But one day they'll be held to an accounting of that. And they'll not stand before Almighty God in the power of their politics. They'll stand before God in their own unrighteousness. And God will say to them, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Has there been a time in your life where you have repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ alone, where you've been born again? If there has been that time in your life, then the Apostle Paul says, we have great excitement. We have great energy because we are going to reach perfection one day. Perfection one day. Only in the next life with the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. Would you look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1? I know I said I love that passage in Titus chapter 2, but I love this passage in 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us? Man, just let the weight of that opening phrase sink in. What manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon you? That love is expressed in the only begotten gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Jesus Christ said, don't be surprised that the world will hate you because the world hated me first. They don't hate us because of who we are. They hate us because we take our stand for the Lord Jesus Himself. Here's what I love. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. We know. We're not hoping. We're not thinking. We're not surmising. We're not planning. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. When you understand the nature of appearing before Jesus Christ and His righteousness, when you understand that on this side, boy, I tell you what, it makes you want to live a much better life. It's not like we can clean it up and we can do the work and it's all self-motivated and us just picking ourselves up and being what we should in our own power. No, it's Jesus Christ working through us. You can't tell me today that when on that day we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, knowing Him as our Savior, that all of us will not be saying, I wish I had given Him more. We stand in the presence of His righteousness and we realize that the Father appropriated that righteousness to us in salvation. You can't tell me that all of us won't be saying at that time, I wish that I had given Him more. I tell you, there's a lot of the things that are related to this body that I can't wait to cast off. Some have recently said to me, getting old is not for the faint of heart. Getting old is no easy task. And I realize every day, yes, I'm getting older, I'm getting older. The staff guys the other day, I'm walking kind of hobbling around. My back just seemed to be out of where it should be. And I stood up out of my desk and I'm walking and I'm thinking to myself, man, this doesn't seem right. That hurts. You're getting out of bed and you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I bought this mattress because it's supposed to make me feel better every morning. I bought this mirror because it's supposed to make me feel better every morning. I bought these expanded waistbands because they're supposed to make me feel better every morning. I bought these orthotic shoes because they're supposed to make me feel better every morning. Why is it that I feel worse and worse and worse? You know, I have an appointment. And on that appointment, I'm going to shed this old tabernacle. And I'm going to put on an heavenly tabernacle. And the epistle from John says, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Apostle Paul says here for us in Galatians chapter 5, he says to us, because of being freed, because of being lifted out of bondage, we have this hope of eternal righteousness in Jesus Christ. We're focused in on coming righteousness. Number one, we're freed from the law. Number two, focused on coming righteousness. And then notice number three with me in verse number six. The Bible says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. This goes to the heart of the battle that was going on. People in the Gentile world had come to Jesus Christ, had been born again by faith through grace. The Judaizers came in and they said, hey, you've got to add these works of the law. One of those works of the law was that of the identifier of circumcision. And so they said, unless you get circumcised, you are not truly born again. And look at how the Apostle Paul says, listen, circumcision does not save, nor uncircumcision. So one cannot walk forward and say, I'm better off in my relationship with Christ because I'm circumcised. And by the way, on the other side, we can't have those that are vaunted and puffed up because they're not yet circumcised. But the Apostle Paul says the truth to us. But faith, which worketh by love. Number one, verses 1-4, we're freed from the law. Number two, we're focused on our coming righteousness. But here's number three, we're fortified in our daily living. This is the day-to-day operation of God working through your life and working through my life. If you didn't write down those other passages, let me just review them because it'd be great for you to just do some traveling because it seems like this matter was of concern to just about every group of believers there in these early churches. He says it to the Galatians here in Galatians 4 and 5. He says it to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says it there in the gospel or in the other epistle that I mentioned, Titus 2 and following. He says this again and again. This is your past. You've been born again. This is your present. This is what you should be doing until you're called home to heaven. But here's what awaits. Here's the excitement of what awaits. If you didn't write those things down, go back and meditate on those things this week. 1 John 3, 1-3 as well. The Apostle Paul brings us back to our focus and he says, listen, I'm not rejoicing in either of these things. I'm rejoicing in the faith that's operating in my life on a day-to-day basis. This is what sustains me. It is my liberty in Christ that gives me hope to do right. Faith is the engine. Love is the transmission. It puts my faith into gear. And it says, operate and demonstrate the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says to us here in this passage, this is how I want to operate. And oh, if every believer would operate with 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in mind, it would change our homes. It would change our connection with our spouses. It would change our connection to our children. It would change our connection to our brothers and sisters in our local church. And it would change our relationship to those around us in our community. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, here's how faith is at work. The Apostle Paul says, listen, this is of no reason to rejoice. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Wrap all those things up into a box and throw it away if you don't have this next ingredient. Verse number four, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Go down to verse number eight. Charity never faileth. All these things are of utmost importance, importance. And the Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Faith is the engine. Love is the transmission. It puts my faith into gear. I want to demonstrate to others my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How am I going to demonstrate that? I'm going to demonstrate it by my love for the Lord and my love for other people. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Again, this same theme seems to be in each of these epistles where the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, writes and he declares to these folks, listen, this is what is desperately needed in the world around us. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Folks, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? It is wonderful. But how is a lost and dying world going to understand that the love of Jesus is something wonderful? They're only going to understand that the love of Jesus is something wonderful because you and I that have experienced the faith in Jesus Christ have now been understanding of the love of Jesus Christ, and now we have opportunity to transmit that to other people around us. In other words, God has you here for a reason. Your coworkers may not understand this truth at this point because they might hate your life and they might hate your testimony. But you have opportunity to demonstrate to them the love of Jesus Christ. We are frankly living in a world today in which we are encountering, through coworkers and classmates and people in the places of commerce, an interesting dynamic occurred for us last week, July 4th. We went down to a city here in the central part of Virginia, had a great time together for a couple of days as a family and enjoyed it. But we encountered an individual in a place of commerce that was very much different than us. Has made definite lifestyle choices and has definitely chosen another path from what I have chosen. In the flesh, I want to express my politics. But ultimately, that person's soul is at stake. And they're going to spend someplace, they're going to go someplace for all eternity. And so I have to override my fleshly view, and I have to say, Lord Jesus, help me to show this person the love of Christ in whatever interactions we have, because it is obvious that somewhere in their life they have said no to their Creator. It was very clear to us that this individual said, I don't want that. No, they didn't say it verbally to us. But just by virtue of the path that they've chosen, they've said no to their Creator, Romans chapter 1. And you know what? That's the very person that needs to see the love of Christ in my life. We are going to spread out of this building into hundreds of different directions in a given week. And I want to challenge all of us. Yes, we are free in Jesus Christ. But here's the point. You have been given that freedom that you might operate in His love and then use that to show the love of Christ to others. I'm free. I'm not in bondage to the law. I'm not in bondage to Satan. I'm not in bondage to sin. I have been delivered from all of that. But that deliverance doesn't just say, go and live any way you want. That deliverance says you've got a purpose. And that purpose is to live for Jesus Christ every single day. So many individuals in pop Christian circles fall into the trap of putting on their Christianity when Sunday rolls around. Oh, I'm headed to church today. I better put on my Christianity. No, the world stands in desperate need of Christians who on a daily basis show the love of Christ. We have homeless people that need to see the love of Christ. We have children that have been left sometimes on the doorstep by parents that didn't care, and they need to see the love of Christ. No doubt you have one or more coworkers that has never truly experienced anything like the love of Christ, and they need for you to step up and to say, you know what, you do have purpose in life. There is a reason for you to exist. There is an almighty creator that designed you, that loves you, that wants to redeem your soul. All those things may not be said in that initial conversation, but through the course of time and them watching the faith that God has given to you and the faith that you have exhibited in the Lord Jesus Christ and all the grace that is at work, through all of that taking place, there will come a time, hey, you know, there's something different in your life. I don't know how many times through the years that I was on a teen trip or somehow out with our young people in settings, and individuals would come over to me and they'd see 20, sometimes 30 individuals. They'd see them all behaved in a restaurant or some kind of local place. We'd go into a gas station and everyone would behave, and everyone would pick their items up and go and pay for them. And the people in those kinds of places would come and they'd say, you know, what kind of group is this? We never see this. And I'd say, you know, it's a group of teenagers from our church back in Tennessee. I know that same thing is happening with our ministry here, and it's having an impact. But I'm challenging all of us. God has much for you to accomplish before He calls you home. Do we need to be insulated from the world? Yes. Are we to be isolated from the world? No. I am to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and I am to show His love at every turn possible. Galatians chapter 5, you've been given freedom for this purpose. Oh, we look forward to that day of ultimate righteousness. But I've got something for you back down here. Titus chapter 2. Oh, we look forward to that blessed hope. But I've got something for you down here. Colossians chapter 1. The hope that is in you, Jesus Christ. Yes, we look forward to that. But I've got something for you down here. 1 John chapter 3. Oh, we look forward to that day. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Yes, that's true, but I've got something for you down here. This morning, if you are a Sunday-only Christian, then I believe God wants to do a work in your heart, where you will not just put on Christianity one day a week. And by the way, I'm fed up with all the individuals that are on social media that give all the plugs to Jesus Christ and then have a foul mouth and all the foul language that comes out of their mouth as soon as they flip to the next recording that they've had. That doesn't help. I'm so tired of hearing people give lip service to Jesus Christ and then they don't actually live it out. God does have a purpose and a plan for your life. And while we're waiting on that one day of ultimate righteousness when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, may we be found faithful until He calls us home. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this passage. Thank You for the truth of this chapter. And as we've pulled off a couple of pieces this morning, and understanding that we've been freed from the law and what that really means, that should cause us to just sit in our place and to spend some time in communication with God, just thanking You for all that that means. I am no longer bound by the law. I'm not bound by Satan, by sin. I have the freedom to do what is right and to use my life for that which is good and honorable and pleasing to the Heavenly Father. I'm looking forward to that day of future righteousness where we will be like Jesus Christ, freed from the bondage of this tabernacle, if you would. This earthly tabernacle will one day pass away, and I will breathe my last breath here and then breathe my next breath in heaven. Won't it be wonderful there? But until that day comes, I pray that the faith that I have in Christ would be at work, and I would be showing the love of Jesus Christ to those that I come into contact with. We have co-workers that have made different choices than we've made, and they need Jesus. We have neighbors that have made different choices, and they need Jesus. They're watching our responses. They're watching our trials. They're watching our times of tribulation. And ultimately, what stands in the balance, or what hangs in the balance, is the eternal dwelling place of an individual. Where will they spend eternity? So, Lord, as we have breath in our soul, may we point them to the love of Christ, the love of God, so rich and pure, so measureless. As we think on that great song, Lord, help us to shine forth the love of Christ. In many cases, people will reject it. People will dislike it. They'll say all manner of evil against us. But may we just shine, shine, shine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.